We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen, we have a special guest on Monday. Who's going to be joining us?
Montana! French Montana joining Jalen and Jacoby. Free Max B. Max Bigavelli. He lets us know that he cannot wait to do a project with his brother.
Jalen, there's a lot to discuss from the NBA draft, but I want to get back to the Pistons. Traded Jeremy Grant. Cleared up some cap space. A lot of people assume that meant, ooh, we're going to get Keegan Murray at 5 because Jaden Ivey's definitely going to go 4, right? And there's some discussion about potentially acquiring DeAndre Ayton. Now that the draft has played out the way it has, do you think the Pistons are still in the DeAndre Ayton business?
Yes, because Phoenix hasn't signed him. And now you have real tangible young pieces as assets to become trade partners for a player that's, in theory, still on a rookie version of a deal as a number one overall pick. And Troy Reaver, our general manager, not only did a terrific job, but I love that not only we drafting quality young men, and there were so many, all of the quality young men that got drafted. Congratulations last night. Just mm-hmm. What a blessing to be in the building and watch families and dreams come true. Young people that can play with the ball or off the ball. See, that's what I look for, right? See, Kay is going to be able to do both. Ivy is going to be able to do both. And they're different. Kay's not considered a high flyer or explosive above the rim type of player. He's not considered like the quickest or the fastest.
Ivy is.
But Ivy is. So that's a yin and a yang. But what Kay allowed the Pistons to do was come in and as a number one pick, be a legitimate franchise player. See, when you're looking at he versus Green, they're both dynamic. I love what Houston also did in the draft yesterday. I love what Houston is doing. Is everything I'm saying about Detroit, I feel about Houston too, just so you know. I love what they did. Jeez, I love what they're building. But both of those teams, right, were looking in the mirror last year at the draft. And the Rockets needed to go for the home run athlete that could get you 30 points and a half in Jalen Green. He dealt with some injury, but you saw how he played at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Ferocious attack in the basket, right? But for the Pistons, they needed the 25-5 steady hand of Cade Cunningham to nurture them through a season where we didn't make the playoffs. But yet he flirted with being rookie of the year.
Making the playoffs this year?
Absolutely.
You know what's going to be really fun this year? That bar they built right next to the court. I'm coming. I'm coming to a few games. That flight's not that long. I'm coming to a few games. When the schedule comes out, I'm just going to just send you my selects.
Let's do it.
And it ain't going to be just when the Warriors come to town
Let's
or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I always pay attention to people like that.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
When it comes to the Michigan game, when they playing Duke on CBS, I'm like, all right.
Not
going to
be that one. Do you know what it's going to be? Friday night, Saturday night. Okay, who they're playing.
So I like it, even just so y'all know, those core Pistons are doing things off the floor that I could tell you on the pod. We went to the Hall of Fame, flew on a private plane with that young core group. Kay Cunningham, Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey. They also, along with Coach Dwayne Casey, attended a playoff game during the NBA Finals. I saw them there too. And see, what I try to tell people about how I would manage a team or like who y'all see it here like on this show ain't how I am on JRLA emails. just so y'all know, like this is like an entertaining version of myself for me. This is literally therapy. And one of the things I'm about building is a family, right? And by the way, like people come and go in that family. Like you could be a part of that family 2 or 3 years. You mm-hmm. might be a part of that family 7 or 8 years.
Well, that also happens sometimes with teams like this that have a lot of good young players. Not everybody can get an extension.
Correct. Like, for example, Killian Hayes. What does this all mean for him? He was also a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ivy comes in and does what you hope he does, you hope Killian and him can play some minutes together. Or what ends up happening, Ivy becomes the starting point guard, Killian becomes the backup.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, if you're Killian, like every other position, Isaiah Stewart, the exact same thing. When they draft Jalen Duren, same thing for Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Hey, listen, there's no such thing as having too many good young players.
At all.
No such thing.
At all.
Oh, what does that mean? We're going to have a competitive practices?
That's what we want.
Is that a bad thing?
That's what we need. And that's how you build something. It's not just the 3 hours that they're in the building practicing and playing and watching film together. And so that's what I like about what our team is doing. How that's what I wanted us to be about. That now we're able to do that, and it's welcoming for a player potentially like a DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're building it now, so, and we may get a player like that to come.
I want
to
discuss something that was pretty impactful this year. You know, if you are a highly touted high school prospect, it used to be go to one of the big schools, one and done, right? Then it turned into, you know what, I could go overseas. Brandon Jennings, LaMelo Ball, many others. And there's the G League as an option, you know. You saw Jalen Green did that with Ignite. And there's some high-profile high school prospects have committed to next year to go to the Ignite. Shaedon Sharpe said, nah, I'm going to have a fourth option here. I mean, he's ranked in the top five of his class. I think it was top three. Went to Kentucky. There were some conversations that were had. Didn't play at Kentucky. Worked with the Kentucky. Wore the Kentucky uniforms. Worked with John Calipari. And got drafted at number 7 to the Blazers. What do you think about this sort of fourth option?
I think that's a unique circumstance. The Kentucky also had Enes Kanter, I believe, drafted fourth without playing.
Hmm.
When he went to their school and still went high in the lottery. And so, but those are the exceptions, not the rules.
Was Enes healthy the whole time?
I'm not sure why he didn't play.
I shouldn't have asked that follow-up. My bad.
But either way, you're basically saying, are colleges going to allow players to come and use their facility, their training, their coaches as an incubator for them going to the league? And the answer is no.
Yeah, something tells me John Calipari, while his tweets and his support of Sharp is very positive publicly, but something tells me this wasn't the plan when he recruited him.
Well, when you recruit a player to come play for you, you hope to win a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And you also hope to help that player get to the next level, whatever that means in their life. And when you sign in to go to schools like Kentucky and Michigan, that means they want to go to the league. 15th man, I know you watch the game and feel like he don't got a chance to go to the league, but when he getting in the gym, working out with the team, he won't go to the league.
Well, also, you've seen a lot of stories from last night where someone averages 7 points in their freshman year and then 23 in their sophomore year.
Exactly. And so now if I have an incubator called college basketball and I have X amount of scholarships – when I'm giving out those scholarships, I want those to be for people in uniform playing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
That's really what. So no, is the emphatic answer to that question.
Jalen, I saw something very interesting in the Charlotte Observer. They had an idea for the Hornets head coach. Someone who's been on this program recently, Dawn Staley. What do you think about that?
I like it.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I like it. And sometimes to get something different, you got to do something different. And for me, what I'm starting to see after Kenny Atkinson turned down the job, recycling. So to me, you either got to like be innovative to get a candidate that there are a lot of different levels to a candidate. You can have like if I'm a team like Charlotte, right? Why you don't hire Mark Jackson? Warriors just won another championship. He told y'all it was the greatest shooting backcourt 10 years ago. Literally. And a proven commodity. And if you think about it, he's only one of the greatest point guards of all time, and you hope to keep LaMelo. Like, this is how I would personally be thinking if I was in, like, these situations, right? Or you can turn the page. Don Staley, great player, great point guard, gold medalist, champion as a player, champion in college. She can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that to me, if I'm them, I just gave you where I'd be. If you said, hey, Jalen, let me see your phone, who are the two people you interviewing? I just told you.
One thing we need to recognize, your former teammate and current teammate, Vince Carter, victim of a terrible robbery. His wife and kids were at his home in Atlanta.
When was this?
This is recently, a couple days ago.
Really?
Yeah. Wife and kids are home. There are some perpetrators break into the home, believe they're armed, stole lots of cash, lots of goods, while the wife and kids were in the closet.
Ooh.
The entire time. She called 911. Police arrived on the scene. The people fled. But it's just a terrible, terrible, terrifying incident.
Wow.
For everyone involved.
I had to reach out to my brother. You know, it's a weird time. I was just saying this to a friend of mine. I believe this is the worst I've seen our political, emotional, psychological cycle as like Americans.
It's tough.
In my adult life. You know, like coming off a pandemic, you know, and you know, the past president. And what happened on January 6th. And just like, there's just like these.
Gun violence.
Yeah, there's like these seminal.
School shootings.
Yes, there's like so many of these, like, and then taking away women's rights.
Roe versus Wade.
Yes, that's just.
Miranda rights. You know what? This is bumming me out. Can we
open carry.
Can we finish something happy?
Open carry. Not like, let me tell you my opinion about open carry. Because I'm a taxpaying citizen and I'm an athlete. And being a public figure, but also being somebody that's from the hood. So, like, I've been a part of an assassination attempt where the car got shot 9 times. Riding up Sunset Boulevard in Brentwood in Los Angeles in September 20th, 2002, right? So I've seen all side of this. Carry guns when I shouldn't have carried them. I've had them when I should. And I have a permit to carry now. I just don't talk about it. I've had it for a long time for protection. And I got that from my brother Bill. Rest in peace. My brother Bill was like a gun aficionado. Like he, you know, whatever somebody could do with a potato, he could do with a gun. And so like, it crosses a third rail to me when that gun isn't concealed.
Mm.
Because that interaction, my interaction with you is different if I know you got a gun or not.
Very different.
I don't care what we're talking about. And for years and years and years, people have been talking to me, coming up to me, taking pictures with me, signing autographs with me, and they don't even know I got it. But imagine if they did know I had it. And then the other thing, it makes me a target for somebody trying to come snatch it.
Mm-hmm. It's like a, when you feel tension in a bar, you know there's about to be a fight. It just like automatically brings that kind of a vibe. like a potential for violence.
It's like, ooh, he has a gun.
Yeah, it's just like,
ooh, she has a gun.
That this could turn into a deadly situation. Yeah.
Well, we must not be safe here if this person has a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I here? That becomes the default for everyone else. And I'll never forget, fam. I was with Mariah in Atlanta. This was like about 8 years ago, and I believe they have open carry on and off. You know, I don't know I believe today they still do. And I'll never forget, dog, we was in the store, and I was, we was in Lenox, and I was in the Louis store. I was about to buy her a bag. And a couple of people came in. They were loud. You know, like, I'm older, but like I was still like 40, but they were like, you know, lower 20s.
Yep.
But either way, they was like loud. And like it was more than having fun. Like they was bugging. You know what I'm saying? And so anytime you see that energy, I got my daughter with me, right? And they kind of like I ain't saying like they kind of like, you know how this happens a lot in New York. If you walk down a street in New York, either you're going to be bumping into people all day or moving out of people's way all day.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Of course.
As a Detroit, I had to figure that out.
Bump into somebody, don't even say anything.
But I'm like, they literally going to walk right into me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just rude.
It's a dance that you constantly dance with.
Yeah, that's just rude.
I don't even notice.
Correct. And so it was kind of energy like that. I saw it wasn't with me and Mariah. It was with somebody that was like 5 feet away from us, right?
Yeah, the interactions aren't please, excuse me, thank you.
Yeah. And so as I watched this happen, I'm with my daughter, right? So I'm, you know, being more protective. I'm like, oh, I don't know what's about to go down, but like me and her, you know, we a package deal, whatever happening over here, like y'all need to handle that, keep that away from us. But I see who the perpetrators are also. So, I see them kind of have an interaction with somebody else. It's like 5 feet away from us. And then I noticed they both turn around. They both had guns.
Just on them.
Visible. They both had visible guns.
Unsafe.
I'm like, I grabbed my daughter. I'm like, we out of here.
We're getting a bag another time.
We out of here.
I know you want a bag right now, but we're going
to that changed. And so, again, I know, and miss me with your advocacy. You know, do whatever your laws say. I'm just telling you how I feel about it.
Jalen.
What up, though?
Great season. You know, the draft marks a pivot for you in your calendar.
Yes.
You know, the summer's coming.
Summertime.
Can we get some toes in the sand?
Yes.
Can we get some of those big corn fed,
yes.
Corn toes, yes. In the sand.
Pina colada, yes. Double rum.
We gonna get that. Look, you, yes. Gonna get a tan. Black
extra
man with a tan.
Extra
black
tan.
Black man with a tan.
Extra twist. Letting
good
my hair grow. Letting the size grow.
Good for you.
I saw Jimmy King, my brother of the Fab Five. He came and spent some time with
love
me in
Jimmy
New York.
King.
We went to the draft. And if y'all think my hair is long,
good for him.
Andy Authentic put that razor on him yesterday, and he got a nice beard. I was jealous.
Good for Jimmy.
So I'm letting my hair grow out.
Tell him I said hi. I'm making sure.
No doubt. No doubt.
You to tell him I said hi. Shout out to Jimmy King. Shout out to everybody that works on the show. Shout out to everybody that works on the NBA.
Yep.
Because we're flipping the page, looking forward to next year after the draft. We will be back on Monday, as always. Why is that?
We're not done.
Anthony Rowe.
We're not done. We are not done.
Got to give the people time. Give people.